This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Karnasen with Kusi Chuang and Noah Lim in the studio this morning. We've got a poll running on Twitter right now. Do you trust fellow Malaysians to exercise self-discipline as we enter the recovery phase of the MCO? That's happening on Twitter right now. And it looks like 48% have said somewhat, 32% saying no, and only 19% saying yes, they trust their fellow Malaysian to exercise self-discipline. The reason we ask this is because with the RMCO in place, Malaysian hotels and tourism players are gearing up to welcome domestic travellers again. And this on the back of the Panjana package announced by the government includes a variety of incentives to support tourism players and to encourage people to travel domestically.
So some of these incentives include a tourism tax exemption. So I think as a tourist, you pay less taxes from 1st July to 30th June next year. And also you'll get a personal income tax relief of 1,000 ringgit if you travel, and this will cover you till 31st December.
Yes, but can the Malaysian hotel sector, which is reeling from the impact of the pandemic and movement restrictions since March, cope with this new normal with little cash flow for the past few months, having to invest and spend more in compliance with SOPs as well as rolling back room rates? We want to find out if they can cope with all of this. And for more on this, we speak to Yap Lip Seng, CEO of the Malaysian Association of Hotels. Lip Seng, are you there on the line with us?
Good morning, yes.
Good morning, sir. Are we seeing a surge in hotel bookings now that we've entered the RMCO, or are Malaysians still being cautious?
At this point, it's still early to tell if the RMCO has stirred up any interest to travel. But from our feedback we received on the ground, people are generally still cautious. Hotels do not see any particular surge in bookings. We always had a good market of family travellers, and this group is still holding back plans, mainly because of the concern of young children and the elderly who's going to be travelling together. So on top of that, the majority of Malaysians are affected by the COVID-19 pandemic financially. Travel is not on the top of the list of essentials. Given the predicament, saving up for a rainy day is more important. But in our recent survey, and this was actually done before the RMCO, our survey actually showed that our bookings recorded mainly for quarter four and also slow and steady pickup for 2021. We're assuming this is a group of people who have actually planned to travel overseas and have shifted their focus to domestic.
Well, I'm really interested in this. Will we see a price increase in hotel rates as a result of all this additional costs and the fact that demand might be quite slow for now?
The beauty of the hotel industry is that we live by SOPs and policy. It's always been part and parcel of the industry. So this is what sets us apart from alternative accommodations such as homes and Airbnb. With COVID-19, the industry reinforced its SOPs, and while there are increase in costs, but it does not translate into increase in hotel room rates. On the contrary, we actually, in our recent survey, shows that hotels are expecting a drop in room rates, and we are assuming this is a move to cater to the domestic market. So it's good for everyone.
Yeah, how would hotels operate in our RMCO conditions? I mean, we know pools will be closed, but what about other concerns like hotels and restaurants? Will there be staggered meal times? What can you share with us?
We have actually a guideline for the hotels. Apart from what the government has said, everything is being followed. We expanded that guideline into a six-part hotel guideline. The part one includes general cleaning. This is what we do on the cleaning of a common areas, including back offices. Part two, employees. That's where screening, training, monitoring, control, and so on we impose on the employees. Part three are the third parties. We have contractors, we have suppliers, and we have other third parties we deal with. We screen and monitor them all to ensure that everyone is safe in the property. Part four are our guests. That's where we have the guidelines for checking in, the guidelines for the restaurants, how many persons in the restaurant at one time, how long do they stay inside. All those are covered in our guest part four. Part five is management and documentation. So we ensure all the records are kept, and we always have a team on standby for any situation. And part six, that's the last part of it, suspected cases. In the unfortunate event we have a suspected case, what do we do? How do we isolate this person from the rest? How do we disinfect all the areas that he has been to? We are prepared for everything.
So, Lip Seng, will the push for domestic tourists be able to absorb the shortfall from international tourists, or is that simply just not enough?
This is a tough one. Recent survey shows that the hotels in general has a 55% dependency on domestic market, which means we have lost 45% of the international market. And if we go by Tourism Malaysia's report for year 2019, an average spend of a foreign tourist is approximately 3,300, while a domestic tourist is only spending about 804 ringgit. So the short answer to this is that it will not be enough. We look forward to the opening of borders in stages, and we should start with ASEAN and then China in India.
A few hotels had closed down. Do you expect to see more closures and retrenchments moving forward, even though we might be coming out of the MCO after 31st August?
I think we are already seeing more taking drastic actions after the last announcement. But I believe what is needed to be done had been done. And with the reopening of domestic tourism, hotels now will just focus on driving business.
Lip Sing, what are your general thoughts on the Punjana initiatives? What helps and what's missing?
Okay, just to touch on a few main points. The main key feature of this Punjana package is it's actually the 1 billion funding alongside with the digitalization and e-commerce grants that that's going to help the tourism sector restart. The industry at the moment is on survival mode with constrained cash flow and limited funds to reinvest. These measures will help the industry stay afloat and competitive for the tourism recovery. The industry is, however, a little bit cautious on this particular fund because we do not know what are the terms and conditions yet. We need to make sure that this fund is accessible to all levels of the industry. And on the other side, the industry welcomes the extension of the wage subsidy program, but it's also one of the main concerns of the industry. The amount of 600 for another 3 months is just not enough. You just compare the domestic tourism income that we're going to get in comparison with the international. This 600 is insufficient for the hotel to stay afloat. We have earlier proposed a 50% wage subsidy for those who are below 4,000 pay and 30% for those who are between 4,000 to 8,000. This would allow employers to keep their employees and be better prepared for the recovery. The government should also look at incentives for international tourists to encourage them to come to Malaysia, to choose Malaysia as the next destination, whether it's a holiday or business. We see other countries like Japan already doing this. We need to be quick. We need to launch this immediately.
All right, Lip Sing, thank you so much for your time this morning. That was Yap Lip Sing, CEO of the Malaysian Association of Hotels, and really pointing out to us where the situation the hotel industry is in there. It obviously, with the pandemic, it has been impacted significantly. A lot of people have lost their jobs in that sector. And it's encouraging to hear him say things like they're seeing things in Q4 and 2021, but it's still a long way to Q4 in 2021.
Yeah, so the hotels can, I suppose, follow the SOPs, but I guess what's worrying, if the hotels get it to full capacity, would they be able to do sufficient crowd control? Another point he raised was about Airbnb outlets, right? I mean, Airbnb homes. You think that, well, there would be less people there. You might have the house to yourself, and wouldn't that be safer?
Well, we don't know, right? Because obviously that's only part of the equation, and houses are just one element of the stays involved, right?
Yeah, and there may be no SOPs for Airbnb home, right?
Yeah,
I think he did very well to emphasize the importance of SOPs there when we asked him about that, right? It was like, well, the hotel industry is used to it, and I think very similar parallel there will be the cruise industry. All these, they're already very used to SOPs. But that said, there is going to be, I think, a psychological barrier to traveling to places that are filled with people.
Well, it's not just the health concerns, right? It's also the economic concerns. People might want to conserve cash because they're not sure whether they have a job in the next 6 months. So, but the importance of this cannot be underestimated, because hotels is just one part of the whole leisure value chain, from airlines all the way to the shops and the restaurants. It's all part of the system, which is a huge contributor to the economy.
Yeah, I think it's something like 30%.
It's huge.
And also families may be reluctant to make any plans because the school reopening dates are still quite uncertain, right, for those who are not doing SPM, SDPM.
Yeah, so primary school, still no visibility yet. So I think families can travel, but whether or not they will, because of health concerns or economic concerns, and where they're going to stay, right? If you go to Penang now, right, say next week, right, Roshan, where are you going to stay? Where would you feel safe staying?
That is the question, I guess. And another question that we have actually is, do you trust fellow Malaysians to exercise self-discipline as we enter the recovery phase of the MCO? This is our poll this morning on Twitter at BFM Radio. And we're taking a look at the stats right now. 144 votes in. The majority goes to somewhat. 50% have said somewhat. They somewhat trust their fellow Malaysians. 17% have given out an outright yes. And 33%, or 32.6 to be exact, have said no. And I think some have highlighted the main issue will be the social distancing, even when it is possible. Many don't do that consciously. And I have heard stories about this. I have relatives in actually Butterworth who have faced this problem where even when they ask people to give a distance, they're like, there's a lack of awareness around. So what? There's a little bit of that mentality.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, right? I mean, when you go to markets, for example, which I do as well, how can you practice social distancing? It's not as if it's a huge market, right? It's a tiny market.
And that's where the capacity capacity comes in, right? Now, just very quickly, actually, we've got another story here about opening up businesses. According to the Association of Belt and Road Malaysia, the government should gradually reopen its doors for business travellers from regional trading partners, especially ASEAN, China, as well as other Belt and Road countries within certain safety conditions. I think this is essentially building a green zone for business travellers so that we can start this external trade relations and keep these relationships going.
Well, first of all, I didn't realize we have an association. Exactly. That itself was a news headline for me. So the president, Chua Po Kiang, says that allowing business travelers who meet safety conditions can travel to Malaysia. And I guess it makes sense, right? Everyone just wants to restart their relationship, their business relationship with China and of course, ASEAN. But I have to say this, though, as long as some countries in ASEAN haven't really stepped up on curbing the outbreak, I think it's a bit scary to open up borders to them.
Right. And on that note, we're going into a few messages. And then when we come back, we'll be the Breakfast Grill, where Xiao Ning will be speaking to Professor Tan Sri Dr. Nur Azlan Ghazali from the EAC about what the economic recovery could look like. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.